Well, John, in this one, we don't need that. Okay, thank you.
And Gina Dias thought it needed saving.
Good.
And, you know, and Alan.
You ready?
Yep.
Well, we're ready to start the meeting. We start with the call to order. Bob Matthews.
Pauline Van Betten.
Trent Billingsley.
Megan Holzer.
Pamela Ditler.
All right, and now we go to the Pledge of Allegiance flag right in the back corner over there. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ready. We have public comment. Anybody have any public comment? Seeing, hearing none, we go to approval of minutes for August 1st, 2018. Anybody changes? I recommend approval.
I approve.
Okay. Approval of agenda for August 29, 2018. Any questions? I recommend approval. Okay, we're rolling. Turn the page here. Informational items. We start with a report from Las Vegas Water District regarding the current well level, status of the Blue Diamond water system, and other related concerns for discussion only. And that would be Natalia.
Okay, so good evening. The water system is pretty stable. We looked at the report from the JHN and JHS wells, and they indicated a drop of about half a foot as compared to the previous month. But other than that, it's been stable, overall. That's really all I have.
Is this a time to talk about the water meter thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a water district question. So you know how we have just like that 150 acre feet, right, that we can use, and you know how we've been talking about the fact that we only have a certain amount of water meters possible in the future, right, because we only have a certain amount of water left over, right? So is it true that you can't get a water meter until you have a building permit?
Yeah, because I don't know that question either, like the answer to that question. We can find out. The thing is, with small systems, it's a little different. Like, I know if you are with city water, you do have to have a building permit. Like, you have to request a building permit, but that's city water. You guys are on wells, so I would need to check.
Well, they're on an individual, but it's a system. I don't think you guys would approve water to go to a site until there's a building permit.
Because there's going to be like...
And not just a permit. It has to be down the line to that stage.
But we can find out for sure. I can contact Development Services because they would know. They would be the ones to.
So, because here's where I'm going with this. The challenge that we have is that we have existing lots that don't have water meters on them, right? And if someone comes along and wants a subdivision, right, and say we have 12 water meters left, and someone comes in and they say, hey, I want to build 12 lots, right? And you grant them that subdivision, then the existing lots that don't have water meters on them will be rendered valueless. They will have no value whatsoever. They'll just be a lot with, and you just granted a subdivision, right? And when you granted that subdivision, these people who have existing lots without water meters will have a lot worth nothing. It'll be useless.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the amount of water meters that are allotted, but I know that the first step that you always have to do is contact Planning and Development Services,
yeah,
and that'll tell you whether or not there is enough resource here.
Resources, and it's almost like there has to be this commitment for them to say, then the commitment is like that building permit, for them to say, okay, we have availability or not, so.
Do you see the core
situation
issue?
Yeah.
Like in town, there's always water, unless you're all screwed, which is actually my question. So when you're done, I would like to ask the water issue.
So could there be a consideration for people in Blue Diamond who have existing vacant lots to get a water meter until and have that on their lot until they're ready to build? And then when someone comes along with a subdivision, we can at least be assured that those people have water to their existing lots.
So what you're asking is you want to know if the people that currently have vacant lots, can there be some sort of, something up that the water district can say, we'll assign you a meter.
Yes.
Until you're ready to build.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
But that may be taken into account already. It may be. I don't know that it is. I'm just saying it may be. Because, like, if a subdivision were to come in, a tentative map were to come in for a subdivision.
Yeah.
That map can only ever record and become actual lots if they get a sign off from the water district. So every utility has to sign off.
Sure.
So it could be, I don't know, but they'll find out. It could be when they look at that, they say, hey, well, we've got all these vacant lots. Is there enough left over for this subdivision?
That's what
I don't know which way it works.
That's what we need to know.
Okay. So we will ask, and then I will call you and also send you an email with the information.
Okay. Cool.
Jill, you and have
so,
a question.
So my question is just as we think about projected growth in 20 years out in the Las Vegas Valley, are there concerns about water in general? What is the projection of water with Lake Mead dropping and global warming? What is Southern Nevada Water District thinking about long-term projection of water and projected growth?
We just actually had a briefing from our general manager. We are right now, it doesn't look like we're going to shortage conditions, and this is what was stated at the meeting like 3 weeks ago. Doesn't look like we're going to shortage conditions until 2020. There is agreements that were made with the seven states where if we were to go into shortage conditions, we actually have 7 years of banked water. So we are in really good shape, is what was informed at that meeting. We do have the water resource plan that I can send to you guys. It has, you know, way more detailed information about this. But in terms of like how much water we've banked, we just have really prepared for this very well. I mean, in terms of like what other states have done, we're one of the states that has done the most preparing out of all of the states in the West. So as of now, we have about 7 years of water banked that is available to us when we needed it.
Okay.
And the third intake is being built, so we'll be able to third straw.
Okay.
That is being built
that
right now.
Comes out of what?
Like
just lower.
The lowest part.
Just lower. Okay.
So what happens is when we go into shortage conditions, we would lose the ability to withdraw, so to pump water from the second intake, and I don't know the exact, but it's something like 1,025 feet.
Cool.
With the third intake, we'll be able to withdraw water from under 900 feet, which means that if the lake level were to go lower, we'd still be able to withdraw water, you know, from way deeper into the lake. So it's really, if that were to happen, if it were to get really, really low, we have, we have this third intake that's being built, and so it's another layer of security for us.
I was just asking because of the projected growth of Vegas and the lands bill, of course, and you know, water is a bit of an issue, and even we go out to Lake Mead. It's changed a lot in the 20 years I've lived here, and the town has grown exponentially. So I can imagine with global warming. You know, having the third straw is great, but is there any, Southern Nevada would never make any recommendations on growth, right?
We are not in the business of growing customers or stopping growth. We deliver water.
Yeah,
and when water runs out, it's not your fault.
Because see, we can't, it's not our jurisdiction to say, no, you can't build. Deliver water, right.
But you can let us know how much water is there.
Yes.
And you can project straw is going to last for the next. So you're good for 7 years. I'm happy you're happy with that. I'm like, holy shit, 7 years.
Well, that's just the banked water. I mean, we also have the most aggressive conservation program in the whole entire country.
Okay. But for the long term, you think we're totally fine?
You know, I.
Or you don't, right? Have you asked that question? Is there any long term concerns in Southern Nevada Water District?
I can tell you that our water resource plan is made, all of the information that's in our water resource plan, it talks about all of our resources, including short-term and long-term resources for the next 50 years.
Okay.
So that every year we update that plan and we look at what do the next 50 years look like?
Okay, thank you.
So I can definitely send you guys, it's really informative. It has
great
information, so I can send you guys to you guys in a PDF. So we've got, you know, different resources. We have groundwater. Conservation is actually seen as a resource too, because we just launched conservation, banked water, ICS credits, all that stuff.
Great, thank you.
Bill.
Excuse me. Yeah. Just because you're on the hot seat, I'll throw the third question in. from the gas station down at 159, coming all the way to where the pumping station is, there's been surveying going on the north side of the road, and then it comes across into the pumping station. Or, and I was just wondering whether this is anything that is a progression of doing something, pumping water one way or the other, or something going on.
Not that we know.
Yeah, not that we're aware of.
Not that we know. Somebody's surveying right up to you.
Well, but they could be that could be surveying that's not directly related to us. You know what I mean? If it was
the only reason I'm asking is because it comes right up to the water pumping station, and this is the middle of the desert; it doesn't go anywhere else. So,
okay.
I was just wondering if there was something going on then.
You said it was right off the
right on 159 and 160 on the north side of the road, all the way up to the mine, and then it comes across the road. Right into the pumping station.
So across the street from that terrible Herbst, and then
from there, coming up here, right up into the pumping station.
It's nothing that the water district is doing.
Well, no.
Yeah,
I mean, I've not heard.
Somebody just sneak the pipeline off here.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be.
they're staying on the north side, Bill.
What's that?
They started at the north side.
It's on the north side, all the way from the gas station, 159, 160. On the north side, there's markings, like we'll say...
Where the RV park is scheduled to be.
But all the way up to the pumping station out here. It goes right up to... It goes right up past the
Oh,
past
the Arden
line
pipeline.
I wonder if they're cleaning
up. Is that the way that the Arden pipeline runs?
That is where the Arden pipeline runs.
So I wonder if, yeah, that wouldn't be us, of course, but whoever maintains the Arden pipeline, maybe they're looking into
it. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that we're the destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after watching them... Survey. I wonder where that's going to go.
Yeah.
Pretty soon it comes across the road and comes right into you.
Well, we can certainly ask around.
Yeah. I'll ask around if anyone has heard of any surveying going on. I mean, usually anything like that, they would let Derek and I know, but I'll...
Well, a few months ago, you know, we've had some surveying going on down the road.
Right.
And we never did really find out what's going on. They said, well, there's a water project coming up or something like that that was going on, and nobody knew about it. And so I just figured I would expand on that a little bit.
And somebody said something about a water project?
Back then, did you understand the same thing, Bob?
Yes.
There was a survey crew that was around. In fact, that was when the helicopter was behind my place on 160, hovering.
That's what they said, boy.
And when I went out with the tractor to go catch them, they took off like they were.
Well, they may have said water, but then when I found the survey team,
that's right. Yeah, yeah,
they had nothing to do with water.
Yeah, remember that's
they,
right.
I stopped them one time, and they said water.
Yeah, when I found the company, they said it had nothing to do with water.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what did it have to do with? They don't have to tell you.
They were surveying other land, and sometimes when it's wide open like that, they have to go far out to find the corners of the parcels and stuff. So. And that came from the survey company.
Well, from my standpoint, it was very coincidental that they were down at the holding station down at the watering dumpy.
Maybe there's a good survey marker there. I don't know.
Could be Arden. Arden goes right there.
Well, I'll
ask. I'm just saying that for informational purposes. So.
I'll ask John Guillory. He's on vacation right now, but I'll see if he knows anything about it.
I think the thing to find out is. And I've been talking with someone who's concerned with water here in town, and he's concerned that the RV park, had a neighborhood meeting on Thursday, and it was mentioned 43 acre feet that they're looking to buy from Union Pacific. Now, Union Pacific does own water rights. Okay, they do own water rights in Basin 212, which is Las Vegas. Some people think that with the co-op able to use 70 acre feet of water, that's their that's the water rights that they have. Now, they have limited customers at this point in time because they don't, the pipelines basically stops right by Colker Road at this point in time. So somebody is thinking that they may try to get buy water from the co-op.
They could.
And just get a point of
diversion.
Point of diversion, and then use it down there. So I just throw it out. I don't know whether it's true. The gentleman from Union Pacific, who I called about water rights, said he does have brokers here that are dealing with people. He didn't go into great detail, but that's off the water resources site,
right,
of some of their
stores.
So I don't want to start any conspiracy or anything else going on, but I just want to let everybody know that they are looking to purchase 43 acre feet from what they said was Union Pacific.
I think they said possibly Union Pacific.
Yeah, well, I asked that question. I said, was it Union Pacific or the Blue Diamond Water Co-op? And he said Union Pacific.
Now, one point is that when you have a water right, if it's a spring water right, which that might be a spring water right, because that's a
spring.
That
is a spring.
You can't have a point of, you can't change the point of diversion.
Okay, well then
that'll. But I'm just telling you, that is how that works, right? If they have an additional water right on the aquifer, what?
What if they ran a pipe?
And they could run a pipe.
Because the pipe's there. What if they diverted at some point in time and they'd have to get right away going, you know, underneath 159 and stuff. So it's just out there.
No, I'm just telling you what is.
Yeah, I tend to believe that they're probably dealing with Union Pacific. I think Union Pacific in 2003 sold Vidler up north up in the state. They sold them 580 acre feet of water. So Union Pacific has mining rights. They've got water rights. So I think they probably
They probably hold a lot of water rights, and
yeah,
you can look these up, and they'll tell you if they're spring or
with the numbers on the certificate there, they were minimal at best. They were, mm-hmm. But
they were all in this
area. It's
a thing.
Yeah, and then the other thing is two other things is. Did we decide about a year and a half ago to put the well level charts with the meeting minutes?
No, that was just a few months ago.
That was a few months. Yep. Are we going to do that?
Yep.
Okay. And then also groundwater management program annual public workshop is on Tuesday, September 11th at 5:30 inside the Springs Preserve at 333 South Valley View Boulevard.
I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, I got in the card, so I just want to let everybody know. Any other questions for?
I have a question. Remember when you don't remember, but we had the water district once did a little chart that shows like where your use is in comparison to everybody else in Blue Diamond. Do you remember that? You weren't here, were you? Yes?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have been doing a lot of conserving, and they asked me if we could do it again so they can see how they got better and where they stand, and so could we possibly do that again?
So you guys want a chart of where water's being used?
You remember what it was.
You sent it out to every homeowner, right?
Every homeowner.
And it showed where you fell versus your neighbors or versus the rest of the town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then now it would be comparing to yourself as well from the old chart, right? I mean, you didn't have to send that out, but if they kept their old chart, then they would have that information. So, like I said, a number of people have been working on it, and they wanted to know if we could do it.
Mailings get expensive. I wonder if that's something you could email to people, like if people wanted to provide their email address.
Yeah, I mean, it needs just to, like, as part of conservation, you know, it's one of the things that we try to do. If we can email, we definitely try to email as much as we can. So maybe we can, I know you guys have a Facebook page. Maybe we can put something there, like,
It would be one place to do it, yeah.
Or gather
email addresses.
And people are interested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Any other questions for the Water District? Seeing and hearing none, we move to number two, receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other crime concerns for discussion only. Who drew the short straw this month?
Well, let's try so I get to talk. I'm pretty sure everyone was here last month. I'm Sergeant Jeff Dean. I just took over for Jeremy Hendricks.
Oh, my
third week out here by myself. As far as crime in Blue Diamond and Red Rock as a whole, we haven't identified any significant patterns or trends as far as going through criminal activity. Just our normal stuff. I know there was a question about overnight parking signs that was on 159 back there. Jeremy had contact with NDOT right before. They are still scheduled to go in approximately sometime in September. We don't have anything concrete from NDOT, but that is going to happen. So just so you know. But anyone has any questions for me?
Any questions? Oh, you're off easy tonight. Oh, we move on. We move on to receive an update on the Red Rock bike trail from a representative, Sheila, of the Red Rock Trail Partnership for discussion only. Two months in a row.
So there isn't really an update. They are trying to schedule the meeting to try to finish how to connect to the connectivity points of Summerlin and to really iron out the majority of the bike path. That is tentatively scheduled for October 16th from 8:30 to 11:30 or 1 or something like that. But October 16th is a tentative meeting.
Which is where?
They don't know yet. Probably at a BLM conference room, and I don't know that it's open.
Yeah, I don't think it's a public meeting.
No. The public meetings will come.
Okay.
Because they definitely have to have public meetings because it needs an EIS and the whole bit. So there will be public meetings, but it's just not right now. This is still, the project's not approved yet. It's getting close. They just need to figure out how to connect it because then they need to tell us the price and then we need to say, yes, we can do our 5%
match. They being who, Sheila?
They being the FLAT program, now it's under Central Federal Highways, is actually the group that builds and designs the path. They execute the FLAT project.
Cool.
Exactly. Or whatever they're called. It's like horrible.
Any questions for Sheila? Well, you got off easy too.
I know, it's an easy day. Let's drink water.
Wow.
It's just a pregnant lady.
I will warn you right now. No. Receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services regarding upcoming recruitment for 2019-2020 CAC members, drainage issues on Castalia, fencing along State Route 160, and other updates from Clark County for discussion only. Megan, it's
okay.
All yours.
So we are reaching the end of our term for this CAC group. So we'll start recruiting next month. Everyone has to reapply every 2 years. So basically I'll get kicked off every 2 years and have to reapply. And so I'll be bringing application forms out to the next meeting. So I hope you all choose to reapply. But
Will that be
the new commissioner
making that choice? Okay.
Yeah. So drainage issues on Castalia. I finally got a contact number for Mr. Tiberti, and I just got that this week. So I'll be talking to him about the drainage issues we're talking about. Is that the dumping that was done up there along the road that makes the water divert and go across the road? So I finally have a contact to get a hold of him. So hopefully I'll be able to.
It's on top of the hill?
No, no. Well, it came from on top of the hill and then was dumped over here.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully we'll be able to work that out and get that stuff at least moved so that it doesn't affect the drainage anymore and cause that, you know, runoff.
So are we still on the Tiberti and runoff? Is this, so anyway, like, there's a massive problem on my property and it's even worse now that they've been mucking around up there. Half my yard is covered in dirt and my front yard has about a 20-foot length that's 2 feet deep.
Do we relate to the stuff up on the hill? Mm-hmm. That is an ongoing, that is
so what do, what do I do about the fact that I have this problem?
That, I think, that's a civil matter and you need to get together with your neighbors and handle it. It's a civil matter.
You can't just, what about the person at the county who's handling it? Mm-hmm. I mean, can the engineer be informed that I have a really big issue on my yard?
Yeah, and you can call the code enforcement guy that's working on it.
Who's that?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I will give it to you.
All right.
But unfortunately, when there is a case on a property, mm-hmm. they can only do stuff on that property. Mm-hmm. So the effects on other properties become a civil matter between you and the property owner. Mm-hmm. So,
but would can I let the engineer who is working on it know that my mm-hmm. property is being affected?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'll get you the code enforcement guy's number.
Cool.
And you talk to him and he'll be able to point you in the right direction for that. But no, we're talking about the stuff that came off of there and was dumped over here in custody. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be getting that cleared up here pretty soon. Fencing along 160, Bill and I have been talking to NDOT about that project, and there's still a lot of unanswered questions and concerns. So we're probably going to get the neighbors that are affected together with NDOT so we can all sit down and talk about what's going on, what the concerns are, and how we're going to proceed with that in the future. And you had emailed me asking about the numbers for the park. I was not able to get those, but I will have them for next month. And Ron may be interested in coming out to the meeting next month to talk
okay.
about.
Okay. And that has to do just
the,
so
the
you know.
The water for the park.
Evan mentioned last time about the sprinklers in the park with two heavy rains, one day after the other, that the next day that the sprinklers were up and running. So it seems like that system, whatever
Ron
it is.
Ron did give me a little 101 on that system. So he said if there's been 5 days of intense hot weather, dry weather, and the soil has lost a certain percentage of moisture, that the system, time to go, bye-bye.
Meeting's over.
The system knows, and say it would take an hour's worth of watering to replenish that much water. It's not gonna water for an hour in a day. That would cause flooding and everything. So that water may be trying to replenish over multiple days. It may add 10 minutes a day for 6 days. Mm-hmm. So that may be what you're seeing, mm-hmm. that rain may not have replenished it enough. So he said just because it rains one day and the sprinklers on the next doesn't mean the system's not working. It just means that there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just rain. It's wind, it's temperature, it's lots of factors that go into the soil moisture. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he could explain it much better, but that's kind of the little lowdown he gave me on that. So
all right, good.
It's not a one-to-one correlation.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Any questions for Megan? Here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I got that one, well level charts, okay. Can we, would it be possible, and I know, I believe they mail out 100 of them, and I know this was the notices for, not the neighborhood meetings, but when they're coming to the CAC and then the Planning Commission, mm-hmm. would it be possible that 5 of them would be mailed out to the members of the TAB or CAC?
I would say no,
okay.
Because that is not required, and it may never come to here. That's the thing. They could come to that neighborhood meeting, just like the last one. They could come to that neighborhood meeting and never go forward.
Yeah.
So it would never even get here, because it's not even a project yet at that point. It's still just looking for input.
But the thing with the neighborhood meeting is, I had a friend come up to me and he goes, "What's going on with the RV park?" And I said, "Well, they didn't go forward with anything." And he handed me the sheet that they had sent out. So I knew nothing about it until that point. I don't know if you guys knew anything about it or not.
I will tell you honestly, neither did I, and I didn't even know about the meeting.
Yeah, and it does put us in a more difficult spot, because there are questions that get asked, and sometimes you see neighbors. In this case, there were Steve. Next door.
There were about 11.
He was 4, and the young lady that was sitting where Commissioner Gregory, she also was against it last time, and she's thinking, well, it's not as bad now because they toned it down to like 95 spots as opposed to 120. So you get a little feel of what's going on. So, to me, that's important.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But that preliminary meeting is to get the input of those immediate neighbors.
Right.
To find out what the immediate neighbors, because that's who the most impacted people are going to be. Because by the time they come to the CAC, they may adjust based on what they heard. And I know this one's going to be adjusted based on what they heard at that meeting. So That's how the process works. And I hear what you're saying, but you get definite notice and you guys get to hear it, the full presentation at the CAC. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that process is going to change. And the other thing is, you guys get once in a while other, because if they do it for here, they're going to do it for every town board. And some of them get dozens. I mean, Mike goes to how many neighborhood meetings? Tiffany, right. Tiffany, who is CISLAC's liaison, has nights when she has three meetings, she needs to be at in three different places because there's that many neighborhood meetings. So while you guys just have one, they might have 12.
Yeah.
So it would get quite cumbersome.
But now, I realize what you just said, but the enterprise agenda has announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings, county and community meetings, and events. We're obviously not going to have as many of them, but that would be a way of letting other people
know.
But
I don't know that they announce those neighborhood meetings, do they?
It's so. On their agenda.
But
there's other meetings beyond that, not to interrupt, but
right.
There's some that, like when we're having things in the RMP area over by Blue Diamond and Rainbow, we go to this lady's house and probably get rid of us.
Because there's a difference between required neighborhood meetings and neighborhood meetings that people just choose to have.
Mm. Yeah.
So the required neighborhood meetings are the ones we're talking about. That, I think, is an agenda item that is supposed to be a catch-all. But I will ask Tiffany. And if other ones do it that way, then we can look at it. But I will tell you that the process isn't perfect, because I did not get notified of the one that was here last week. The only reason I got notified of it was because she called me to get your number.
Oh, really?
Or she emailed me and I said, when's the neighborhood meeting? Oh, it's Thursday. So there are flaws in the process and we're always refining it. So I will definitely talk to the other liaisons and see how it works in other areas. But I think really the crux of it is that those are intended to be just that immediate area to get the input of the most impacted people before it goes out to, you know, a much broader audience.
You know me, I'm a meeting guy, so
yes,
I'm trying
I
to make it.
And just
so everybody knows, at that neighborhood meeting, they've talked about maybe getting 43 acre feet from Union Pacific, but they said that they currently have 7 acre feet of water at this point in time, and they think that they're going to need 25 acre feet to run their operation.
Well, so I mean, honestly, so they're having a pretty economic operation if they can run it on 25 acre feet.
Well,
I think that is pretty economical. I don't.
They'll have to go.
Yeah,
they'll
figure it out with the county.
Yeah,
there's not going to be a car wash and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
at 25 acre feet, I mean the average home uses between .7, right?
Yeah.
So say you have an RV and maybe it's using an RV every day. So say it's maybe using a half an acre foot, right?
Yeah.
Well, they'll do all that math.
I'm just saying that
right.
It's not going to be very intense if all they're using is 25 acre feet.
And just so everyone knows, this project, this is not the same project that was submitted the first time. They pulled that. They withdrew that one, which I announced, I think, like 2 meetings ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did withdraw that one. And then this is a new project.
But
it's
the same
different.
Person?
It's the same property owner.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the same buyer? No.
Oh, it's a different
no,
buyer.
Different. I don't think this is a buyer. I think he's the developer.
I think he's the owner of the property, right?
It's Randy?
UHL.
Randy. It's one of the same guys that was here last time. So,
Because that could be why they have that surveying, because if they're going to pull the water off of the UP water line, then there could be surveying, you know, where that line is going to go.
I don't think they
could be surveying in the case of trying to figure out how much it costs.
I don't think they're that far along, honest to goodness.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're
not that far.
And
that would be quite expensive.
And that line's, that line's
survey,
pretty nasty.
The survey that's out there is for information. I can't imagine. Somebody's either going to put something in the ground. They wouldn't do it just to get an estimate for an RV park. I don't believe that RV park thing is a ways off before
And they did mention it's going to be a well, so that's what he said. So when they come for by the way, we have to change the date on the 31st.
Right, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were done.
Well, no, yeah, you reminded me.
Oh, okay.
I was actually talking about when we say the next meeting date, but that's fine.
Oh, okay.
So while you brought it up, so the way our meetings fall, we're scheduled for Halloween as the next meeting, which we had decided not to meet. However, this application will come to you guys.
September than October.
Right.
Yeah.
But October 31st is the night.
Right.
So it falls on Halloween. I don't think any of us want to meet on Halloween. So, but we could do it. We could move that meeting to that Monday, maybe. Or to like the next week, we could keep it somewhere in there. So as it gets closer, we have time, but as it gets closer, we will look at moving that because I don't want to be here on Halloween. I don't think you guys want to either.
Well, so why don't we just make an agenda item next time so we can have a vote on it and make it official?
It always is an agenda item because it's next meeting day.
Yeah.
So it always is.
Will they have to send out a new card for all people that have already?
They would have to anyway, yeah. Okay. They would send out a card.
And the gravel pit well that was talked about last month, it was abandoned over 1 year ago.
Yes.
Down there. So the water for the phase of the widening on 160 is coming from closer to Pahrump at this point.
Oh, nice.
So 1 year ago, and from what I heard from its captain.
Yeah, it was Yankton captain. Sorry, I wasn't here last month.
Yankton captain?
Yeah, they get a
whole
top
part. Oh, a cap. Like, you captain a well. Burial at desert? I don't know. I'm sorry. But
and I did talk with Eric Papa. I was looking online. I found something new. And there's the disclosures, the lobbyist and the commissioner disclosures. And it wasn't up to date, so I called him, and he put it up to date. Mm-hmm. A lot of the lobbyist disclosures only went to 2014, so he did that. So that's all I got. Anybody else? That's it. Megan, anything else?
No. Nope,
that's good. That's it. Okay, planning, zoning, none. General business, review fiscal year 2017-18 budget requests and take public input regarding suggestions for fiscal year 2019-2020 budget requests for possible action.
Okay, so this is our process that we started 2 years ago. We're continuing. So this meeting, we're going to talk about what was done before and come up and brainstorm for ideas. Next month, we'll take additional ideas if anybody has them, and then we'll solidify it. You guys will vote on it, and I'll send it on to the different departments. So the requests last year, and these were emailed to you with your agenda, Public Works, an apron, 10 to 20 feet of asphalt on the east and west sides of the intersection of Torino Avenue and Colca Road. Review the conditions and surfaces of Colca Road, Fortney Road, Hualapai Way, Torino Avenue, and Wounded Horse Trail, and repair or resurface as needed. Excuse me. Paving and review of drainage on Eagle Ranch Road and Wigwam, adjacent to Eagle Ranch Road. Those were for Public Works Roads. Public Works Traffic, there was a request to remove the lane divider dots on Arroyo in Blue Diamond. I had to specify that for them. And consider strips instead. And then Public Works Civil, was to study the drainage patterns and problems within Blue Diamond and explore possible solutions primarily on Cerrito, Allegro, and Lassen Streets. So all of these items are still on the list. Some of them have been done in a little part, just like some of the drainage things. I think it was on Lassen, a couple of those streets that repaired. So some of them have been done in little parts, but none of them have been completed completely. Which is not unusual. These are budget, it's like our wish list, so at least they're on the radar of the different departments. Yours is all Public Works, but of the different departments. So now, are there any items, capital improvement items, that you would like to request to go on the list for the future?
You know, I just got a comment. Like, they came in and they dropped about 10 yards of gravel down in front of my house on Lawson, and spread it out the day before the rain hit, and then it all washed away.
Oh, jeez.
It's all in the middle of the road.
Timing is everything.
So gutters on Lawson, Cerrito, and Allegro would be really nice. Yeah. Because all that water just runs off right off the road and digs trenches.
So we have explore possible solutions.
Yeah, I mean, gutters is really what we're looking for.
Okay.
Can we remove something?
Yeah.
Remove the apron.
Okay.
It ain't gonna happen.
Oh, okay.
It's big, big. Okay.
Well, you know what's not going to happen is removing the dots on Arroyo, even though I've asked multiple times. So, but we'll leave
we
it on
do
there.
That ourselves.
We'll leave it on there, and maybe one day it'll rise to the top.
Now, two gentlemen were driving around, what's today, Wednesday, I guess it was Monday, in a county vehicle, and on the front of the vehicle, they had some kind of contraption. I'll just say contraption. And they said what they were looking at was they were looking at the very first thing, Colca and all those roads, mm-hmm. is they were going to be looking at that. So do we take that off at this point in time? Cause
no, leave it there. Yes, because it's still important, and we still want to make sure they do it.
Because they told me that an apron isn't going to happen, and they're not going to do anything to Colca. They said that, have you been over on the east side of town? I said, well, not specifically. They said, you should see some of those roads over there.
And that's why this is a wish list, because
whatever
roads you have, you should see the road that goes to my house.
Yeah.
I mean, it could rip a tire off, so I understand. So, yeah. Your roads around here are really not in bad shape if you see other places.
Yeah, so they probably have taken care of that or are looking at it at this point in time.
They were
probably
doing the first part, reviewing the conditions and surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So think on it until next month. If there's things you think are important, a lot of the things that other communities ask for are things that you guys already have. A community center, a community pool, a skate park, a park, a baseball field. Those are things that you already have. So if there's other things that you think of that are capital improvement projects, we're talking about $1 million things, not a street sign. These are $1 million things. If you think of any, you can email them to me or bring them next month, and we'll
make it with improving or any improvements to our current rec hall that was built in the 1930s.
Private property.
That's privately owned.
It's private.
Yeah.
Good try, though. Okay. We move on to nominate a representative and possible alternate to serve on the Community Development Advisory Committee for possible action.
So the department that does that was going to reach out to Pastor Bale. I do not know if they have heard back from him yet, but Barbara said that if he didn't want to do it, that she would step in and volunteer to do it. So I'll have to get back to you on this one. These don't have to go until October. So we put it on there early so we have this time. So I will tell you next month who's set up.
Okay, and I just wanted to let people know, some people may know who she is. Ollie Kelly, I believe she was 91, passed away. She had done it before Pastor Bill, and like Barbara had done it 1 year, and Ollie had done it for a bunch of years, and then Ollie's husband had died, so she just passed away recently, so she had done it for a long, long time. So, okay, we have, comments by the general public. Do we have any comments by the general public?
Well, I guess I would ask if Commissioner Bragger is here, are you here for general public comments?
Sure.
Okay, so are you here for a special reason? You hear about the
article? No, I just came because I visit periodically.
Okay, just out of curiosity. Okay, so obviously Sheila Billings is treasurer of St. Greg Rock, and I was going to ask Megan about this, but not on the meeting notes, honestly. I was going to do it privately, but I do.
Well,
I
there can't be any discussion of anything on public comment. So if you want to talk about something, let's wait till the meeting's over.
Okay, public comment is if you give your comments, and that's it. I would like to state that I think it's confusing that the commissioner went on the record saying that Red Rock Canyon is already protected from development, and the commissioners have not approved any development, though they have approved concept of development. I think that is a confusing and misleading statement. I'd like it on public record.
I can't answer, so I'm happy to tell you what was actually said and what was written.
I guess we'll talk later.
Yeah. And I can't stay very long, but I'm happy to give you my number and call you.
Fantastic. I have it.
Super. Anytime.
We can have coffee. I hate mm-hmm. phones. They don't
work. I appreciate that. I'm happy to come up and come to Cottonwood or something.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got a curious question on the when Nancy and Marcy were here last month.
Okay.
I was just wondering. Somewhere I had read that there's in the smart growth. I don't know if it made it in there or not, but a mitigation to development ratio of 1 acre for 1 acre. Could you find out on that? That was that smart growth
ratio.
Mitigation to development ratio of 1 acre for 1 acre.
Is that what they said in there?
It said it was going to be in the draft, but I don't know.
I think that had to do with the ECs, and so they were talking about for every acre of development.
Okay, so that would have been 90.
Put 1 acre in an AC.
I'll find out.
Okay, so that I think the smart growth was 98, and the other one was 97. I think on the June 19th agenda.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Okay, good. Any other community concerns? Hey, Heather.
Hello.
Oh, and let me say thank you to Heather. Heather, you do fine work. It was behind the scenes. I did not know you were really involved in the smart growth.
Grocery store, so
no, but thank you. I just want to say thank you for all that you do. Next meeting date is September 26, 2018. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.